Morning. Today's daf in Brachos Samech Beis. We're on the very top of Samech Beis. I'm at Alf, starting with the first words of the Amud. Ninth parak dedicated primarily to the topic of Brachos HaShavach, Brachos that we make over seeing nature and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's creations. And the Gemara segued, and yesterday we segued, we really veered off the road of the parak. We talked about yesterday topics like keeping your words concise, whether Chava comes from parts of Shnia, she is the second side of Adam Rishon, or she is simply an appendage that was built into Chava. We talked about not walking behind a woman. We spoke about Rabbi Kiva, Kiddush Hashem. So yesterday we really went off in terms of leaving the main topic of the parak, and we veered off into other topics. But in the course of doing so, we talked yesterday about bathroom usage. Bathroom usage became a big topic of yesterday, and it will be, quite frankly, a big topic of today's daf. And so yesterday we talked about it in terms of facing Yerushalayim. You can't be facing Yerushalayim. Back in the day, they were not indoors. They were outdoors. And basically, when you're in the field and you're immediately facing Yerushalayim, that's obviously an affront to Yerushalayim. Or even if your rear is facing Yerushalayim, that's also an affront to Yerushalayim. And so therefore, you have to be sensitive to that in terms of your direction in relationship to Yerushalayim and the Har Habayis. That's what we discussed yesterday. The Gemara now is going to be talking about other manners of Derech Eretz, proper conduct that one should have in the bathroom. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas Nichnasti. So at one point I entered Acha Rabbi Yoshua Beis Akisa, and I followed Rabbi Yoshua into the bathroom. Now that seems to be inappropriate, and it will not be the most inappropriate thing we're going to be seeing this morning. We're going to be seeing this morning things that are seemingly more inappropriate, but that's coming up a little bit later on. So Rabbi Akiva goes and follows Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom. Limadati mimenu gimel dvarim, and I learned from him three things. Number one, limadati shei nifne mizrach umarav elasafim v'darom. So number one, I learned that one should not be going in east-west direction, but rather in a north-south direction. That is consistent with what we learned at the end of yesterday's daf. Number two, limadati shei nifraim mu'umad ela miyushav. Also, when going to the bathroom, one should be in a sitting position, not in a standing position. Now, I'm assuming that we're talking about number two over here, so we don't really mean standing, but we mean more like a squatting. So each person should be in a more sitting position. And number three, limana tishay mekan chamiyamin, a little bit small. And on top of that, one should wipe with his left hand, not with his right hand. So, and we're going to be discussing that in more detail. The Gemara is going to explain why that should be. Amalei banaze adkan heyasta panecha b'rabecham. So banaze turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, that seems to be azus panim. That's arrogance. It's just inappropriate. You're following your Rebbe into the bathroom. You're watching exactly what he's doing in the bathroom. You see which hand he's wiping with. That seems to be highly inappropriate. And Amrlei, and Rebbe Kiv's response is Torah hi lomad ani tzarech. It's Torah, and I have to learn the Torah. And so this is the Torah encompasses every part of our life. It's not just in the shul. It's at home as well. Not just in the home. It's in the bathroom as well. And we're going to be talking. We're talking later on, also in the bedroom as well. Meaning, Torah encompasses every aspect of our life. And so, this idea that I'm following my Rebbe into the bathroom. It's not inappropriate. Meaning, yes, it's inappropriate, but it's for the purpose of learning Torah. Tanya will learn another brisa benazir omer pamachas nechnasti acha Rabbi Akiva lebeis akisei. And so now we go right. We go Rebbe student. Now we're going to the next generation of Rebbe student, and here Rebbe Kiva now is being followed by Ben Azai. Now, right, based on the give and take, the Q&A that was just had between Rebbe Kiva and Ben Azai, I understand. Ben Azai says, oh, okay, fine. Oh, no, it's appropriate, fine. And Ben Azai now follows him, and it's going to be the same thing, and I'm going to read really quickly. Ach Rebbe Kiva le beisakisi ve lemadati memen agam al dvarim, lemadati shei nifnim is rachmara ve lasafim vedarim, lemadati shei nifrim me'umar ela miyushav, lemadati shei mekanchim biyamin ela besmol. Amalo Rebbe Yehuda ad kan yasa panecha berabecha. Now Rebbe Yehuda, you get to see the shalshelas, the Mesorah of the of Torah Shabbat Peh. We went from Rabbi Yoshua to Rabbi Akiva to Ben Azai, and now we're at Rabbi Yehuda, right, who is a late generation Amora. So Ad Kana Yasta Panecha Berabecha Amalo Torah Hivlomanani Tzarech. Okay, same thing. And by the way, Ben Azai knew all this already, meaning, remember, Ben Azai already heard this from Rabbi Akiva, but Enosh Mia Dome L'Ri'iyah. Okay, you heard it, but in other words, when you see my Sarav, that obviously has more of an impression, and therefore he saw it. And that obviously left more of an impression upon him. Next, Rav Kahana al ganatuse puria de Rav. So Rav Kahana goes and now lies under the bed of Rav, as Rav is with his wife. Yes, this is shocking. Yes, this is inappropriate. And the Gemara is going to comment on that. But in the context of our Gemara, you understand where it fits in, even though it doesn't sound like, this does not sound like reasonable behavior at all. But the Gemara relates it. So Rav Kahana goes under the bed of Rav. Shamei desach v'sachak v'asat zrachav. So first, what Rav does with his wife is that he's lightheaded with her. He's jovial with her. He's joyous with her. Rashi, im ishto sicha betela, shoritsu itashmish. Okay, so then he's with his wife. So Amar Leh, so now Rav Kahana is commenting. Now, the comment that Rav Kahana is making is certainly out loud, meaning it's not just a thought that he has, but out loud right there. And you'll see why, because you'll see Rav's reaction. So Amar Leh, dami pumida abakidalo sarif tafshile. So the way my Rebbe's speaking right now is as if he never ate a dish. In other words, his desire seems to be beyond what is quote-unquote normal. So Amalei Kahana Achahat. So Rav turns to Rav Kahana and says, I cannot believe you're here in this private moment. Poked alav arachara. He says, you have to get out. This is not appropriate behavior. Amalo Torahi v'loman anitzarech. Now, he says, okay, but Torahi. In other words, this is also Torah. Again, going to the basic idea that Torah encompasses every aspect of our life, both in the bathroom and the bedroom. And so he feels that this is Torah and it's appropriate. Now, Rav obviously at this point in time disagreed, meaning the bathroom. So that's the line. The bedroom, that's over the line. And so obviously Rav felt that this was over the line. Okay, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wipe with your right hand. The Gemara doesn't spend time talking about the other two. The first one we already discussed yesterday in terms of your positioning, meaning east-west versus north-south, and where you are relative to with harbais. That we discussed yesterday. And the second one, I guess, is a little more just physiological, meaning that you should be sitting, not squatting. The Gemara doesn't spend time discussing that as well. But the writing with the wiping with the left hand over the right hand, that obviously needs a discussion, because physically speaking, there's no difference between the right versus the left hand. Obviously, this is a halachic consideration, and the Gemara is going to give the halachic explanation. We're going to see the Gemara. So why is it that you do not wipe with your right hand, but only with your left hand? So the Gemara is going to give four different explanations. So the Torah was given with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. Again, a lot of anthropomorphism here in the ninth parak of the Masechta. And here's another one. By the way, it's anthropomorphism from the Torah, meaning the Torah says that miyimino. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it from his right hand. Kaviyachol, again, to the best of our understanding, just so that we can converse and discuss it in such a manner. We're only relating to him in the way that we understand. Fine. So, mimino esh das lamo. So he's giving it from the right hand. So therefore, there's a certain element of Kedusha to the right hand. The Torah was given with the right hand. So therefore, one should not wipe with the right hand. That's one explanation. Rabba barbachanam remneshi krova lepe. What you're doing with your right hand most of the time is you're eating with your right hand. And so it's in your mouth all the time. And the Gemara now discusses it as a hygienic issue. Number three, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Mnei Shekosher Batfilin. And Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says it's because you're tying your tefillin with your right hand, meaning your tefillin's going on your left hand. Yeah, yes, obviously the Gemara here is describing somebody who's a righty. So you're tying your tefillin on your left hand. You're tying it with your right hand. And so therefore you shouldn't be wiping with your right hand. I know the obvious question over here is, isn't the tefillin? I know. I'm with you all. Isn't the tefillin on the left hand? Meaning, wouldn't it seem to be more significant that if it's a sensitivity to the tefillin, look where the tefillin is, not which arm you're tying it with? So I hear you. I hear the question. I don't have a great response to the question, but that's the third reason given in the Gemara. Rav Nachman Yisrael Gamar Mimne Shemara Bo Tamei Torah. And a fourth reason is because you know what you do with the right hand? You show off Tamei Torah. You want to? I'm going to share with you an interesting Rashi, a fascinating Rashi, Tamei Torah. Rashi writes over here, Niginus Tamei Mikra Shel Torah Nevim Muksuvim. So, but basically, the conductor of the shul. Now, he's not the conductor of the shul; he's the conductor of the Balkore. Now, you'll see this in many a Gabbai Balkore relationship. You're going to see this where they have certain hand signals that they pass off to one another. And this is not a new phenomenon. This is Rashi explaining the Gemara that this used to be done. Rashi writes, Neginus Tamei Mikra Shel Torah Nevim Muksuvim. And by the way, Rashi doesn't limit to Torah. In other words, Nach as well. So Nevim Muksuvim, Nevim Haftaras, Ksuvim, I'm assuming he's talking about the Megillos. Bein Benikud Shebesefer, Bein Behagbaz Kol, Uvitzilzol Neimos. And interesting, Rashi talks about hand signals for the Nikudim, for the vowelization. Okay, that's exciting. I don't know how that works. But okay, in other words, the communication. And also in terms of the trup as well, Rashi over here quotes some of the trup. See the Rashi. So anyway, so and the way that the Gabbai would show the Balkari how to do is with his right hand. And again, more chashivas in terms of the right hand. And so therefore you should not use the right hand. What's interesting, by the way, is that of the four reasons that are given the Gemara, so then you have to plug in, what if you're a lefty? Meaning which reasons require you to switch your hands, which reasons do not require you to switch your hands based on the four that were just given. And, it, you know, you'll find that, you know, it won't be unanimous in terms of what the lefty should do. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Kitanai, Machlokas Tanayim. On this very issue, Rabbi Eliezer, Min Mishochaba. So Rabbi Eliezer takes the hygienic issue, which is, you shouldn't be wiping with your right hand because you're eating with your right hand and hygiene. And Rabbi Yeshua, Min Shikoseva. And Rabbi Yeshua says, because you're writing with your right hand. Now that's interesting, by the way, because the Rabbi Yeshua position here doesn't match any of the positions that we have seen previously. Yeah, I understand that, but it hasn't. I get that part, but I'm saying it hasn't been said by any of the Amoraim. It could be Mimino Ish Taslamo. It could be the Tefillin issue. Could be. I don't know. Anyway, Rabbi Kiva Amar Mimnei Shabara about Tamei Torah, and it's because you're showing off Tamei Torah. That's Rabbi Kiva. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Nechanilai. And so now the Gemara, after sharing with us some Derech Eretz considerations regarding the bathroom, wiping was with one's hand, left hand as opposed to the right hand. Now the Gemara moves its attention to Tznius. Well, actually, not yet. The Gemara is going to focus more on Tznius in just a little bit. So, but okay, we'll start off with a comment on Tznius. Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai says that anyone who's sanu in the bathroom needs some shlosha dvarim, is going to be safe from three things: mina nechashim, mina akravim, mina mazikin. So, from snakes, scorpions, and mazikin. The mazikin, as we've seen time and again, and it'll be a big part of today's daf. So, the mazikin frequent the bathroom. So, there are these spirits, these evil spirits that infest the bathroom. Okay, just the bathroom is a dirty place, physically and spiritually. And so they're there all the time, and so therefore with the act of being sanua, so you're going to be protected in that area. And also, if you are sanua in the bathroom, so you're not going to have bad dreams. Interesting, Rashi over here. Why are you not going to have bad dreams? Because it's the mazikin who are the ones who are giving you the bad dreams. So if you're protected from the mazikin, you're going to be protected from the bad dreams. So Hahu Beis Akisa David Betrei Kiava Ailu Be Betrei Afil Be Yamama Mizake. There was a notorious bathroom in Tveria where two people went into the bathroom. Even when two people went into the bathroom, and even though it was during the day, so they would get injured. Generally speaking, we talk about how to warrant off the mazikin. So if you are more than one, so you're protected. If it's during the day, so you're protected. So this particular bathroom. So this was a particularly challenging bathroom in that even when they went in as a pair and even when it was during the day, they would be attacked. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi have a Ailu Be'chaycha L'chudei V'lo Mizake. And then you had your superheroes, that of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, where they would go in even individually and they would be protected. So Amar Lahu Rabban Lo Mistafisu, and the Chachamim said, please, why are you not scared? Like, how is it? So Amar Lahu, so they say to them, Anan Kabbalah Kamrinan. We have traditions, and we'll share with you our traditions. Number one, Kabbalah de Beis Akisa Tzniusa Vishtikusa. So first of all, we have a tradition regarding the bathroom. Be modest and be quiet in the bathroom. Number two, Kabbalah de Yisuri Shtikusa Mi by Rachame. And we have another tradition, not having to do with the bathroom, but our second tradition is that if a person is suffering from Yisurim, so Shtikusa, a person should be quiet, meaning not complain, and Mi by Rachame, and ask mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw this idea already just yesterday. Yesterday's daf, on the top of yesterday's daf, Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, so the Gemara told us, it's the very top line of yesterday's daf, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir, La'olam Yidvarv Shal Adamu Atim Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should keep his words concise in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning don't complain overly and don't fetch. And the Gemara over here really is a continuation of the point that we made yesterday. Abaye, the Gemara now is going to be continuing along the practices of various Amoraim in order to protect themselves from the Mazikin. I know it's difficult, more than difficult, for us to relate to these Gemaras, as we have no experiences whatsoever. And you can even poll the people and see whether or not they believe in the Mazikin. I know you have your rationalists out there. And by the way, this is not a modern phenomenon in terms of in terms of not believing in the Mazik, and the Rambam was a rationalist, and he didn't subscribe to all this. But the Gemara, however, will be spending a lot of time with this issue and giving us what to us seems to be strange ways of dealing with the Mazikin. But again, it's a topic that we just have great difficulty relating to. Shouldn't, yeah, but in the bathroom they can't learn Torah. So I hear you. I hear you. Okay. I'm just sharing you what the Gemara is saying. Abaye marbele ime imra lemael behadela besakise. Abaye. So his mother. Now we go over this time and again. It's not his biological mother, it's his foster mother. And he had a strong connection with her. He quotes her all the time throughout Shas. And so what she did is she raised a sheep, she trained a sheep, so that every time Abaye that would go into the bathroom, so he would be accompanied by a sheep. I know we have challenges relating. I understand that. But again, so by doing so, he's now going to be accompanied, and it'll be Shmira, and it'll be extra protection. So the Rabbi Eli God, yeah, the Gemara says, sheep, why not a goat? Now, I don't understand. I'm such a, you know, I have nothing to do with animals, so I don't understand why the goat would be better than a sheep. Now, I'll buy any explanation. I really don't know. So, Seir b'Seir Michlif. So, the Gemara gives a interesting answer. The Gemara says, well, the Shadim also go by the name of Seirim, right? Then Parshat Achrimos, right? You'll see. The Torah describes the Shadim as Seirim. And so, if it's a goat, so it's going to be too similar in word, in concept, to that of the actual Seirim, and that's why not the goat. Rava Mekamed Avireshe Mekakashle Bas Rav Chista Amaguza Belikna. Rava, before he becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, so what his wife would do, now his wife happens to be the daughter of Rav Chista, a point that we've gone over numerous times, and that what she would do is that she would ring a bell, right, literally a nut inside of a flask, she would ring a bell when every time he went to the bathroom, and it would ward off the mazikin. Now, Basa de Malach, after becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, so Avdele Kavase Amanchasale Yada Resha. So what she would do is she would make a window in the bathroom, and that when he would go into the bathroom, she would put her hand through the window, put it on his head, and that would provide him extra shmira. Why did he need extra shmira? So Rashi over here writes, because when you become Rosh Yeshiva, so you need more shmira. Rashi writes, I'm reading, Mimnei ha-mazikim shemitkanim ha-shenim ha-tamid ha-chachamim yoser mishar b'nei adam. So a concept, and a really interesting concept, is that the Shadim are more angry of the Talmid HaChachamim. Why that should be? I'm sure there's good explanations. I don't have one right now. But in other words, they are more antagonistic towards Talmid HaChachamim. And so now when Rava becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, so therefore he needs more Shmira. If you want to do a little interesting detective work, Tosos over here, it's a short Tosos, but it's great. It goes back to a Gemara that we did not so long ago. Right, so we did all the Gemaras regarding Bar Hedja. Right, Bar Hedja, our dream interpreter. And Bar Hedja went and interpreted numerous dreams of Abaye and Rava. And one of the dreams that he interpreted for Rava is that your wife is going to die. The Gemara goes back to Daphne and Vav, that your wife is going to die. And in fact, she did. And when he confronted Bar Hedja, he says, look, I'll forgive you on all the bad dreams that you did for me, but I'm not gonna forgive you on the death of my wife. So, and he was referring to the daughter of Rav Chista. He said that back on Nun Vav. And over here, we find that she's there even after he becomes the Rosh Yeshiva. So Tosfos spends a little bit of time over here trying to figure out, do the two stories really mesh well? Meaning that she's still alive even after he becomes Rosh Yeshiva, is that it has to be after the Bar Hedja story. But meanwhile, with the Bar Hedja story, she died. And on top of that, we know, when did Rava become Rosh Yeshiva? Only after Abaye died. And it sounds like his wife died and back in Nun Vav. It sounded like his wife died before Abaye died. Anyway, okay, that's some detective work on the part of Tosfos over here. Amar Ula, back to the Gemara. Achare geda nifnim yadu vivika, kolzman she mit atesh ve'ein chaver shomea. Okay, so we're back to the topic of tznius, of modesty within the bathroom, and where should you go? Now again, no indoor plumbing, no indoor bathrooms, so you went out to the field. Now, you're in a position where it's obviously going to be immodest, where you're going to be exposing yourself in a public area. So where should you go? So Ula says that achorei geder nifnim yadu v'bika kol zman shemitatesh v'ein chaver shomea. So if you're behind the wall, so then that's fine. Meaning as long as that you are out of view of others, that would be acceptable. And if you're in the bika, if you're in the valley, So you have to be far enough where you're mit'atesh. Literally, the word means sneeze, but in this context, it means flatulence, and nobody hears you. Isi Barnasan Masni Hachi. Now, Isi Barnasan has a different version of how these halachas work. Achorei Ageder Kol Zman Shemit'atesh Ve'ein Chaver Shamea. He is more machmir. That even when you're behind the fence and nobody can see you, but you have to be at a distance where nobody can even hear you flatulate. Uvebika Kol Zman She'ein Chaver Roehu. And in the Bika, you have to be so far away that nobody can even see you. Okay, that is obviously a more machmir position. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to be challenging this second view, this view of Isi Barnasan. Number one, we're learning a braisa together, Yotzei Mipesach Beis Abad V'Niftan L'Acharei Geder. You're in the Beis Abad, you're in the Olive Press. Now, your purpose of being there is not only to work the Olive Press, but you're also doing Shmira. Because you know that once you leave those olives and that olive oil unattended, along may come an Am Haaretz and be Metameit. And so therefore, you have to be within proximity. And so therefore, now you are faced with the following challenge. You have to go to the bathroom. So where do you go? So if you go too far away, so now you left the olive oil in a compromised position. So here, an allowance is given where you don't have to go too far away. So that's what the braisa says. Just go right behind the wall, relieve yourself, and then come back. Okay. Now the problem is, Isi Barnasan, the second viewpoint. Isi Barnasan says that that's not good enough. You have to be far enough not only from being seen, but also from being heard as well. So the Gemara says, "B'taharis hekelu." So the Gemara says, okay, but the answer is that over here, we also have to consider the sensitivity of Shmira, of the olive oil, and make sure that's in a state of tahara. So therefore, for that, the Chachamim were makel on the issues of tznius. Tashma, the Gemara does basically the same thing. Kam yachikav yu taharim kidei sheyehei ro'ehu. Now, here in this brace, it's a similar idea. Apparently, there was no wall over here to discuss. Anyway, you went out to the distance in order to relieve yourself. As long as you could still see the olive press, so you're good. Now, over here, again, according to Isi Barnasan, you have to be so far away that nobody can see you. So, Shani Ochletaru say Kilobei Rabban. The same answer. In other words, again, over here, you have to counterbalance it with the fact that you're doing a shmira on the olive oil to make sure that it remains tahor. And so, therefore, Chachamim or Mekel. Rav Ashi Amar, my Kozman Shein Chaver Ra'ehu Dekamer Isi Barnasan, Kozman Shein Chaver Ra'ehu Es Paro. Aval Didei Chazilei. So, Rav Ashi says, everyone here misunderstood Isi Barnasan. He didn't mean that you have to go so far away that mamish nobody could see you. That's a great distance. He didn't mean that. He just meant that you have to be so far away that if anyone were to see you, they would not be able to see your private area. That's all that's meant over there. So you have to be in some sort of opaque view from everybody, but it doesn't mean that you have to literally be out of sight. The Gemara, which we'll discuss, on the Amud Beis, it's a good question. On the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about that issue. But yeah, in other words, but again, everything has to be balanced. In other words, Baal Teshachzeh at the same time with Tznius issues. So okay, there was a professional eulogizer. Okay, back in the day, so it was a subspecialty field where you eulogized and you got paid to eulogize. And so obviously, the better your eulogies, the more you're going to get hired. And so they ran the risk of embellishing, right? And everyone's there listening is like, oh, I want to hear that about me. And so you can only imagine, you know, the more he speaks and the better things he says, the more he's going to get hired. And so this is going to be a perfect illustration. So occasionally what happens is the Amoraim have to come along and tell them, you know what, you went overboard, meaning, okay, and here's going to be a wonderful illustration. Ha'usav danda nachis kamet Rav Nachman. So there was this eulogizer, Amar haitzanua ba'urchosav hava. And in the course of his eulogy, one of the things he said is that this person was so modest. So Amar le Rav Nachman, at alayt bahadela besakisav yadata itzanua lo. And so Rav Nachman calls him out. Right, I assume, by the way, Rav Nachman calls him into his office. You know, doesn't do this publicly. But Rav Nachman says, "Let me ask you a question. Were you with him in the bathroom? Do you know his conduct in the bathroom? Are you able to say that really he was sanua?" D'tanya, we learned in a brayse saying, "Karin sanua, la mishan sanua bebesakise." You want to say somebody's private? So, and again, it's funny. It's like an irony. Like, in other words, we have to know how private he is while he's private. I know, it's funny. But like, you know, most people, of course, if not anybody, nobody knows his private conduct. But anyway, if he is modest while he's private, that is modesty. So, Rav Nachman, my nafkele mina. Now, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, okay, why do you call out this safdan? So, mishum detanya, the Gemara says, because, kishem shenefraim, and amazim kach nefraim, mina safdan, umin ha'onen achareihem. Because, much like HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes retribution against those who died, meaning din v'cheshbon, but on top of that also, the person's eulogizing, and he is not bending the truth, he's just flat out lying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to, he's going to have to answer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as well, and onen achareihen, and anyone who answers amen to that, you know, and is in perfect agreement with that. Meaning, while eulogizing, you are not allowed to lie. Obviously, you want to paint a positive picture, but you're not allowed to lie. There is a discussion in halacha, right? It's curious, it's interesting, in terms of okay, not lying, but first of all, accentuating the positive is fine. Meaning that for sure is fine. There's no reason. While eulogizing, you have to go over any of the negativity. That part's true. But in other words, but there is an interesting discussion in halacha about highlighting, right, exaggerating just a little bit. Okay, there is that discussion, but the Gemara over here is very clear. In other words, you cannot speak any non-truth. Tana Rabban, the Gemara here quotes the Brice, Ezut Tanu is Anifna Balayla B'Makom Shenifna B'Yom. The Brice over here talks more about Snias than the bathroom. The place where you're Nifna Balayla should be the same place where Nifna B'Yom. Now, obviously, at night, nobody sees. During the day, people see. And the Brice says, still, it has to be the same place. Meaning, and that's obviously a Chiddush for the nighttime. I mean, nobody sees you, so just simply go out, you know, take a couple steps outside, and that should be fine. And the point of the Braisa is, no, you got to go in the same place during the day and at night. Ini, the Gemara says, now, is that really true? A person should make sure to go into the bathroom early morning, late night, and you know what that will save him? A lot of travel time. Because if you have to go during the day, as we learned earlier in the daf today, you got to go out far. So if you go early morning meaning, right, it's not light outside. And late night obviously means it's not light outside. So once you do that, so then you'll save yourself all that travel time. Now, Vesu Rava Biyama Mahava Azo Admil. And on top of that, I'll tell you, Rava's practices was during the day, he would walk even a mil, approximately kilometer. Uvalayla Amr Le Lashami Penuli Duchte Berechova Demasa. And at night, he would just turn to his attendant and he said, look, just clear for me a spot right outside. And that would be fine. And Rav Zera said the same thing to his attendant. So we see now clearly this idea that at night, you don't have to travel the same distance that you do during the day. We see that in Braisa. We see that in the practices of Rava and Rav Zera. So the Gemara says, so how did you understand the Braisa? So lo tema bimakom, ela ema kiderech. So we're not talking about location. In terms of location, there is a difference between day and night. Day, you got to go out far. Night, you don't have to. Okay, established. But in terms of the manner in which you go to the bathroom, there it has to be the same. What does that mean? The manner? Well, she says, everything we learned. Meaning, how much of your body should you expose when you go to the bathroom? The idea that you have to be sitting, not squatting. Meaning, all the mannerisms of the bathroom have to be the same. Location does not. And Rav Ashi says, look, it could be that we're talking about makom. And makom over here means as long as you're Karen Zavis. As long as you're around the corner. If you're around the corner, so then that would be fine even during the day. Meaning you're out of sight. The Gemara now wants to go back to the statement that the person should train himself to go early morning, late night. And that means that during the day, he'll be safe from having to do all that walking. The Braisa says the same thing, quoting B'Shem Ben Azai. Right? Ben Azai in bathroom talk, by the way. This is the second time today that we had Ben Azai and matters of the bathroom. So make sure to train yourself like we just described. And then Mishamish Veshav. Okay, now, right, slightly indelicate, but the Gemara over here is talking about stimulating your rectum in order so that you have a successful bathroom outing, right? Kind of like an enema. I'm not totally sure. Rashi, I'll share with you the Rashi. Rashi writes, "Bitzur or bikisim liftoch nekavim." Okay, it's kind of like an enema. Again, I'm not telling you exactly what it is, but they're about. So mishamish v'shev v'al teshev utim shashesh, and what you should do is first stimulate yourself, then sit down, and not the reverse. Shekol yoshev umish umimashmesh afilo osim kshafim baspanya baimalav. Now there, it's just bad. And again, I'll just translate the words of the Gemara, not because I understand them. But in other words, even if someone's trying to practice sorcery against you and he's all the way out in Spain, and so that's a far way from where you are right now, but if you stimulate yourself after you sit down, somehow in ways which I cannot articulate, you become more exposed and more sensitive to any of these dark forces. V'i inshe v'yasev. Now, if you forgot and you sat down and now you're stimulating yourself to go to the bathroom and now you realize you are in spiritual danger, so what do you do? So I'm sorry, v'acharkach mishamesh, maitakante, what do you do? Kikai lema, so when you get up, you should say the following, hachi li, I'm sorry, hachi lo li v'lo li. So not me. Meaning these are incantations that you do in order to ward off the mazikin. Lo sachos v'lo sachos, lo sachim v'lo sachtim. Rashi describes, not yet. I don't want any of them. Right, Rashi describes them as the names of the various sorcerers, or sorcery that's done. Lo hani v'lo mahani, they should have no benefit whatsoever. Lo charshi decharashta v'lo charshi decharashta, and I don't want not the male spiritual forces or the female spiritual forces. That's the way Rashi describes it over here. Various incantations that one should say. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, Tanya will enter the Brisa Omer Kol. Mishkav shachav chutz min hakarka. So you lie down in any bed. It can be made up of any material. Don't lie down on the floor. I'll call moshav shev chutz min hakorah. Now you can sit down on anything, but not on a beam. Rashi over here describes the beam as being not stable, and so therefore it's just a simple concern that you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself. Amar Shmuel, sheina be'amar shachar ki istam al parzala. Shmuel gives his own health advice, and that is, now the word we have in the Gemara is Shena, sleep. Now, it could be that that's the correct Nusach. If you look at the side of the Gemara, he prefers a different Nusach. I'll go over that second Nusach in just a moment. Kind of fits in better with the second statement. If I sleep Ba'amud HaShachar, meaning dawn is a good time to sleep. It's like Istama LaParzala. It's like steel to the iron. It's good. Yitzia Ba'amud HaShachar Ki Istama LaParzala. And going to the bathroom at this early time is also good. It's like Istama LaParzala. Now, it's a little bit strange, by the way, because these two statements side by side are, you should be sleeping then, you should be going to the bathroom then. You can't be doing both. So it's kind of hard. If you go with the alternative girsa in the Gemara over here, it's not Shena, but Hishtaneh, which is better. Meaning it means urinate, and then you see it would mean defecate. Okay, and that could probably be what was the intent of Shmuel. Bar Kapara, have a mazbe mili bidinare. We get to Bar Kapara, and we're going to now see a penny for his thoughts. He literally sold his advice. Now, you're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah, even though we all do. So, but leave the personal issues aside. But over here, this is more like life advice. And so, he sold it. He sold it for dinarim. Now, it happens to be that we're getting it today. We're getting it for free. Okay. Ad dechanafta achol. Number one. When should you be eating it? When should you be eating? Ad dechanafta. Ad dechafanta. Sorry. Now, there's a really interesting Rashi over here. And Rashi writes, she'im tishet ta'avor mimcha ta'avas ha'machal ve'in ha'machal ma'wil. In other words, I'm sorry. First, let me translate the words. Eat while you're hungry. And the way Rashi understands it is that if you eat while you're hungry, if you don't eat while you're hungry, what's going to happen? So your hunger is then going to dissipate. Now, I'm looking forward to experiencing that. I generally find that when I'm hungry, it usually continues. Right? You don't normally forget about your hunger. So it's a really interesting Rashi, where Rashi writes that. An alternative way to explain the Gemara over here is that adachanafta achol, meaning you should eat and still be hungry even after you eat as well. Meaning, don't stuff yourself. Okay, but that's not Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. Ad tzachi shasi. And when you're thirsty, you should drink. Again, Rashi over here would be giving a similar pshat. Ad raskach kederch shafoch. And while there's a need for you to go to the bathroom, that's when you should go to the bathroom. meaning here, don't hold it in, right? This is what we mentioned earlier. Don't hold it in, but rather, when the need arises, so then you should go to the bathroom. And this is, by the way, not consistent, but it counterbalances a little bit what we learned earlier, meaning that if you have to go during the day, there's obviously a big walk that you have to do, which goes back to the Gemara that we learned earlier this morning, which is you should train yourself to be going at certain times. Anyway, and finally, his fourth piece of advice. By the way, the words I didn't translate literally. Adaraska kedecha shafoch, right? That when the pot is boiling, so then pour it out. But he's speaking in a clean language. He's talking about the bathroom. Number four, karna kaya barame. So let's say the horn is blasted in Rome. Okay, this is in the market. And why are they blasting the horn in Rome? Because basically they're closing up shop over here. And so this is the last chance for buyers to buy. And now you should be selling everything at that point in time, meaning if for whatever reason you're home and you're not in the market, run out to the market to sell. And barm is ben te'ine te'ine da'avucha zavin. And let's say you're not even the seller. You're the son of the fig seller. But still, you should run, take your dad's figs, bring them into the market, and sell them in the market. And I guess the point of the Gemara over here, aside from the fact of, you know, in other words, obviously, you know, make business when the market is available, aside from that, but also what the Gemara could be speaking to is the idea that even though you're the son and it's not yours, but if you know that this is what dad wanted, so then you should do so. Okay. Amalu Abay L'Rabban Ki Alisa B'Shvila D'Mechuzel Amefek Bey B'Chiklai. So Abai gives the following advice to the Chachamim. And that is that when you're in the pathways of Mechuza and you're going out to the fields, and there's these thin pathways that go out to the field, and over here, maybe he's going out there to go to the bathroom. That seems to be, from the context of our Gemara, that seems to be the case. But lo techzik la lahagisa v'la lahakisa. Don't look in either direction. Del mayasvei neshei v'lav arich ara li'istikulei behu. Because it just happens to be that there are women that are there along that pathway. And if you don't keep your head down and you look in either direction, you're going to see women inappropriately dressed, and that's not good. Rav Safra ala beis akisa. Rav Safra goes to the bathroom. Asa Rabbi Abba nachar lei abava. And so along comes Rabbi Abba, and he is grunting at the door. Amar lei lei old. Now at this point in time, Rav Safra was in the bathroom. And Rav Safra tells him to come in. And so Rav Safra speaking in the bathroom. Now we already spoke against that earlier this morning, and Rav Safra was very comfortable talking in the bathroom. So Basa Danafik Amar lei ad hashta lo aitla de seir v'gamata lechmila de seir. And so now Rav Safra comes out of the bathroom, and he gets an earful from Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba says, you didn't even go to Rome yet, and you're behaving like Romans. Immodest in the way that you're speaking. You're in the bathroom and you're speaking. You're like the Se'irim. Se'irim over here is a reference to the Romans. So, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. And we did this not so long ago in the Daf. The Mishnah is in Tamid. Medura Isa Shama, Beis Kisa Shel Kavod. Right? We are in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically in the Beis HaMokad. We're not actually in the Beis HaMokad. We are subterranean of the Beis HaMokad. Remember that staircase that went down from the Beis HaMokad. And then, if any Kohen needs to go to the bathroom, so he would go to the bathroom underneath in this area. And the bathroom over there was referred to as a Kisei HaKavod. I know, we joke like that. But, in other words, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Tamid. So, Ubeis Kisei Shel Kavod. Vizeh HaYakvodo. Matzanu B'Yadur She'en Shem Adam. Matzu Pasuch B'Yadur She'en Shem Adam. And why was it so honorific? Because it had a lock on it. And so, people would know that the people are inside. In other words, you try to pull on the door and it's locked. Oh, somebody's inside. And that means now that there need not be conversation. And that enhances the modesty. And that's a wonderful thing. So, Amal Avar Charahu. Now, so clearly, all you need to know is that Mishnah Tamid. And you should know, you should not be talking while in the bathroom. Now, in his defense, which the Gemara does defend, he says, "V'hu saver mesukanhu." Well, I heard you at the door. I heard you grunting at the door, and I thought, "Oh, you really have to go." And so, therefore, I thought that I'm telling you, don't wait. Come in right now. Apparently, there was room for two people to relieve themselves over there, but he thought that he was in a state of sakana. It did, Tanya. We learned in the Braisa. We already saw this earlier in our Masechta. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Amor Achozer, Mevias Adam Liday, Hidroken. If you're holding in your excrement, and so that would lead to Hidroken. Okay? Don't know what that is, it's not good. And Silona Achozer, Mevias Adam Liday, Yirakon. And if you and if you're holding in your bladder, so that will lead to your akon. I don't know. Some sort of, maybe jaundice. Okay, perhaps. Again, just simply not good. And so that's what I thought. So that's why I told you, I gave you clear instruction to come in, because I thought it was a sakana. Rabbi Lazar Allah Bezakise Asau Parsa Dachke. So Rabbi Lazar goes into the bathroom and in comes a Parsa'a. Now that normally translates as a Persian. In a moment, I'm going to argue it's not a Persian. It was a Roman. Right? The historically speaking, we are more with the Romans. And the Gemara is going to quote a Pasuk describing Edom. So it's probably over here should be a Roman. But either way. The Ahu Parsa de Dachke Kamra El Azar V'Nafak. So Rabbi Lazar says, okay, he needs the bathroom. Okay, so I'll excuse myself. And he leaves. So Asa Darkona Shamte Lekarkishte. And so now, this improper Roman, who just pushed his way into the bathroom, forcing Rabbi Lazar to leave, so as he sat down, he got bit by a snake, right in that area. So Kari Ale Rabbi Lazar Ve'etein Edom Tachtecha. And now Rabbi Lazar says, wonderful, Pasuk in Yishayahu, right? Ve'etein Adam Tachtecha. So the Pasuk reads Adam, but now he's going to play on the Pasuk. Al Tikre Adam Ela Adom. Okay. Okay, v'amar lahargecha. Okay, and so now, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be going through some of the maisa regarding Shaul and David. Okay, for the most part of the relationship, it was unpleasant. Where, for a good amount of Shmuel Aleph, so Shaul made it his business to try to kill David. Despite the fact that, by the way, he was his son-in-law. Okay. So the, yeah, okay. But anyway, but aside from that, but for the obvious reason that Shaul was threatened by the fact that David was going to be taking over and becoming the new king, which in fact was the case. And so there were a number of times where, well, Shaul definitely pursued David to kill David. And there were a couple of occasions at the end of Shmuel Aleph where Shaul was in a compromised position and David could have killed him. And not only David could have killed him, but actually, so his men were telling him, yeah, do it. In other words, kill Shaul. And on top of that, the Gemara is going to say in today's daf that there was justification for David to do so because Shaul was a rodef. And so with all that stated, so on two different occasions in Shmuel Aleph, so David withheld himself and did not kill Shaul. And in one occasion, what he did is he cut his clothing, meaning Shaul needed to go to the bathroom. He went into a cave. It happened to have been the cave in which David was hiding in. And now, Shaul didn't know that David was there. And again, David had all his people whispering in his ear, kill him. And the only thing that David did is he just simply cut his garment. And at a later point in time, he sent the garment over to Shaul and says, look, I could have killed you. I didn't kill you. Now, could you please leave me alone? Okay. Anyway, so Amar lahargecha v'techas alecha. So, and by the way, the wonderful question to ask over here is, what is all this doing over here? So as we're going to see, it's somehow related to the bathroom talk. Okay. So Amar lahargecha v'techas alecha. So this is now the message that David sends to Shaul. Now, v'amar is not good grammar in this context. It should be v'amarti. I said. What does that mean, va'amar? And also, tachos, alecha. What does it mean, tachos? Right? Chasti. So the grammar is all off over here. And so, the Gemara goes on to explain. Va'amar, va'amarti mi ba'ilei. Should have said va'amarti. Va'tachos ve'chasti mi ba'ilei. So what's going on with the grammar of this pasuk? Amar Rebbe Lazar, amar lo David l'shaul min haTorah ben hariga ata. So over here, it's not amarti, it's amar because it's the Torah which allowed me to kill you. Why? Sha'arei rodevata, because you're a rodevata rama, bala hargecha, ashkem lahargo. Because the Torah says that when someone's trying to kill you, so you have the right to defend yourself. Ela, tzniyus shahaisa bach, haya, hi, chasa alecha. But because you were so tzanua, that's why I had compassion. Because at this point in time, it was Shaul who was going into the cave in order to relieve himself, and he saw that even though Shaul was in a private moment, he was still super modest. Umahi, so the Navi describes how Shaul went in order to urinate. And he didn't just go behind the fence, but he went really interior. Fence within a fence. And he didn't just go into a cave, but he went really interior. Cave within a cave. In order to relieve himself. And David, because he happened to have been hiding in the cave, so he happened to have seen all that, so he realized that Shaul was extraordinarily modest. And for that, he didn't kill him. Now, I'll ask the question without a wonderful answer, meaning what does that have to do with him being a Rodef? Okay, so he was extraordinarily modest. At the same time, he was also a Rodef. And so how does the extra modesty obstruct the fact that he was a Rodef? I'm not clear on the matter, but that's clearly the point of the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Elazar Melamed Sichech Atzma Kesuka. And also, just one more idea to Itzias, is that the word that's used in the Navi is that he was Sochech, and it means like he was like a, it was like a cover like a sukkah, like a total canopy. Vayakam Davin Vayichros Es Kenaf Hamil Asher L'Shaul Balat. And look, we're here already, and this happens in the Gemara often, where we made the point germane to our discussion, and that is the bathroom discussion. But now, as long as we're here, so the Gemara is going to spend a little bit more time in today's daf going over some of the other psukim and making some other points, salient points regarding the episode of David and Shaul. And so David now cuts off a corner of the garment. So if you are disparaging towards your clothing, you don't treat your clothing with respect, so then you're eventually not going to be comforted by them and worn by them. And we know that towards the end of David's life, beginning of Sefer Melachim, so we know that David tried to be, he got a chill, and he couldn't get warm. And of course, he was introduced to Avishag. But that, the Gemara says, is Mida Keneged Mida, to the fact that he cut the clothing of Shaul, and that showed a lack of respect to clothing. Now, if you think about it in the context of the story, he was trying to send a positive message to Shaul, which is, I could have killed you and I didn't kill you. Okay, but the message could have been messaged in other manners. He didn't have to cut the clothing. Again, we're now heading back to the psukim at the end of Shmuel Aleph, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to be Mesis. Now, Mesis is a term that's generally dedicated to the idea of somebody leading people astray to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. And he uses that in the context of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to try to mislead me, meaning lead me astray into trying to kill Shaul. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar like HaKadosh Baruch Hu David Mesis Karisali. And so the language that David employed is a strong language. It was too strong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, "You're calling me a Mesis? Okay. Hare ani machshelcha b'davar she'afilu tinoko shel beis rabban yodin oso." So you're going to stumble on something that you can ask any boy in yeshiva, and he'll tell you. Okay, and this week's parsha. Good. And so when you count the Jewish people, don't count the Jewish people. Collect a coin from everyone and count them through a coin, but don't count the Jewish people. And Yisrael, David Lech Yisrael, de man inhu. And so the next events that occur is that David now is doing a census, and he's not even doing a census by counting by shekel. He's counting by person. And as a result of that, a plague befalls the Jewish people. And so there's this idea that by doing a count, by doing a census of the Jewish people, so you're eliciting an ayin hara, and over here, the immediate reaction is that there was a plague. So my Ace Moed, and it lasted only to Ace Moed. Now, what exactly is that point? So I'm a Shmuel, Saba, Chasni de Rabbi Chanina, Mishmei de Rabbi Chanina, Misha Shchitos HaTamid. So it could be up until the time that the Tamid was Shechted. Misha Shchitos HaTamid, Ashas Zrikaso. So it was a really small window. From the time that the carbon Tamid was Shechted until the time that the blood was sprinkled. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ad Chatzos Mamish. No, it goes up until Chatzos. Okay, how long did this plague last? So, various positions regarding how long it lasted. But again, it came to the fact that that when David spoke regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he used a language that was really too strong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to David is, okay, you'll see. And the Dever and the plague that afflicted the Jewish people was the onus for David's speech. And he says to the Malach, the destruction Malach, Ba'am Rav, who killed many. Said this is referring to the Dever. So Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMalach Toli Rav Shebehem. So this is now HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to the Malach HaMashchis, to the destruction, the angel of destruction, and he says, I want you to take someone great amongst them. Sheish Bo Lipar Me'em Kamachovas Ba'osar Shah Meis Avishai Ben Tzruya. So Avishai Ben Tzruya, who happened, by the way, to have been together with David HaMelech in the caves as he was being, as they confronted Shaul. So anyway, so he was significant. Sheshakal Kerubashal Sanhedrin. He was equivalent to the majority of a Sanhedrin. And so his life was taken during the Dever. Now during the destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw and he was comforted. The Navi does not describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in order that provided his comfort. So my Ra'ah, so the Gemara is going to give a couple of opinions. Amar Rav Ra'ah Yaakov Avinu. Dirsiv Ayama Yaakov Kasher Ra'am. So the Gemara over here making connections based on words. So Shmuel Amar Afro Shol Yitzchak Ra'ah. He saw the ashes of Yitzchak. Because you know Yitzchak was brought up to the Akedah and he was and Avram shechted him and burned him as a carbonola. Now it happens to be that the story that I just told is only partially true. It happens to be that he stopped short from doing so. And meanwhile, this will not be the first reference in the Gemara that we have regarding the ashes of Yitzchak, right? There are a couple of occasions in Shas, this being one of them, where the Gemara tells us that Avram Avinu carried through with the Akedah and actually offered him. So the simplest way to explain the Gemara, the easiest way to explain it, is that the ram was brought instead of Yitzchak. And so that when the ram was finally offered, so that's Ki'ilu, it's the Afro Shel Yitzchak. That's the easiest way to explain the Gemara. Shenemar Elokim Yireh Li Haseh. Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Kesef Kippurim Ra. What did he saw? He saw Kesef Kippurim, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Shenemar V'lakachtach Es Kesef HaKippurim Me'ez B'nei Yisrael. Rebbe Yochanan Amar Beis HaMikdash Ra. So the Beis HaMikdash Yechziv Bar Hashem Yireh. And again, you see the idea over here every time we have the word Ra'ah. So Pligibar Rav Yaakov Ba'idiv Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Chanamar Kesef Kippurim Ra Chanamar Beis HaMikdash Ra. So the Gemara again gives different opinions in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that stopped the plague. Mistabra. And the Gemara says that what seems to be the most reasonable is Kamanda Amar Beis HaMikdash Ra Shenemar Asher Yomar Hashem Behar. Sorry, Asher Yomar Hayom Behar Hashem Yireh. So this idea that the word the Re'iyah is connected to the Beis HaMikdash, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in order to stop the plague. Let's do just a little bit more this morning. A person should not go into the Har HaBayis with a staff. So my kapandria, and not make a kapandria out of the Har HaBayis. The word kapandria, what does that mean? Yeah, so we all know, but the Gemara now is going to explain. I'm a Rav kapandria kishma. So the word kapandria is kishma, meaning as the name, as the word itself indicates. Meaning back then, it was the word was part of the lexicon. They all knew what it meant. The Gemara right now thought it had some other meaning to it. And the Gemara says, no, it's what we generally assume the word kapandria to mean, meaning a shortcut. You're not allowed to make the Har HaBayis a cut-through. Rather, if you want to get from point A to point B and Har HaBayis is in between, you're going to go and circumvent. Rav Chana, Bar Adam, Mishmei Derav Sama, Berei Derav Mari, Amar, Kamanda Amar Inish, Adem Akifna, Adre Eol Beha. So he understands kapandria not to be an actual word itself, but a contraction of four words: ad mekafna, adare, eol beha. While you know what, let's not go around. Let's just go right through here. Otherwise, stated a shortcut. It's the same idea. It's just a question of etymology and what does the word actually mean. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm a Rav Barvua. I nichnas the basic knesses. I'm nash lo lasos kapandria, mutar lasos kapandria. If you go into a shul, not with the intention to make it a kapandria, you can make it a kapandria. What does that mean? It means, let's assume that the shul has two different entrances, and you're going in through one way, and now it just happens to be that for you to leave, the second entrance would be better for you. Right? It'd be a shorter way for you. That would be fine. You can't go into the shul with the express purpose of using it as a cut-through, but if you're going into a shul and you want to leave a different exit, because it's just easier for you, that's okay. Rabbi Abba Amar Im Haya Shvil Mi Ikaru Mutar. Now, if it happens to be that there already was some sort of easement over there, some sort of pathway, which everyone used, and they built a shul around it, so the public still has rights to their easement. So Amar Rabbi Chaba Amar Rav Huna Nichlas Beis Knesses Bala Mutar Lasosu Kapandria Shenemar Vavo Amar Sofnei Hashem B'Moadechem. If you go into shul to daven, so then subsequently you could use it as a kapandria in the way that I just explained moments earlier. meaning you can't go in there with the purpose of using it as a kapandra, but once you're in there for the purpose of davening, and then subsequently you want to leave an alternate exit because it's easier, that you're allowed to do. Let's recap. We went over today various points of Derech Eretz in the bathroom. Wiping. The Gemara over here speaks about wiping with one's left hand as opposed to wiping with one's right hand. The Gemara gave four different reasons why that should be. Mazikin in the Beis HaKisei, an area where there is a lot of these mazikin who hang out, and so therefore it's a dangerous area. Gemara spoke about ways to ward off the danger. Modesty in the bathroom is a big topic of today's daf. On the Amud Aleph, we discussed it almost halfway through. Modesty is going to affect not only how much you're exposing yourself when you're actually going to the bathroom, but where you should be going to the bathroom. Gemara spoke about that extensively. Advice given on the Amud Beis. Benazai gives advice. Bar Kapara gives advice. Right, he charged for it, and we got it today for free. More discussion on the Amud Beis regarding modesty in the Beis HaMikdash, a subterranean bathroom that was used that was called the Kisei HaKavod, and it was called that because of its modesty. And then the rest of today's daf, we went through parts of Shmuel Aleph, a little bit of Shmuel Beis as well, regarding Dovin and Shaul, primarily because Shaul had to make use of the caves in the bathroom, so that got us to that discussion. But once we got there, so the Gemara made some other points regarding the narrative.